All right, well, welcome to our weekly class. It'll be 11:30 from now on, and we'll be meeting and discussing different issues of Parsha every Thursday at 11:30, and then Monday at 12, we'll discuss different issues each week. So this time I'm going to share the screen with you, and we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics, a theory I came up with years ago, and that is the meaning of the biblical leprosy. As we turn to Parshat Tazria Metzora, hopefully everyone's keeping up with the Parsha and reading it on their own in their own homes for Shabbat. It's challenging. What is this business? Leprosy? The Jews get leprosy? Leprosy of the body? Leprosy of the clothing? Leprosy of the house? What is going on? So, firstly, let's just remember the words of Maimonides at the end of the Laws of Leprosy, that the Hebrew term for leprosy is a homonym, as he says here, embracing various meanings. Can everyone see? Alan, Elaine, you can't see, but Brittany
Yeah,
and Alan.
I can see your screen, Rabbi.
Yeah, I can see it.
Good. So the Hebrew term for leprosy is a homonym, embracing various meanings. The whiteness of a man's skin is called leprosy. The falling off of some hair in the head, the chin is called leprosy. And a change of color of clothing or houses is referred to leprosy. Now, this change in clothing and in houses, which the Torah is called leprosy, is a homonym. It's not a natural phenomenon. It was deemed a sign and a wonder among the people of Israel to warn them against evil gossip. So here is the Rambam espousing the most commonly known theory that the reason people get leprosy, leprosy of the body, leprosy of the clothing, leprosy of the house, is because of Lashon Hara, evil, slanderous speech. And because that, welcome Debbie, because of that, they are sort of cast out of the community. Like all of us now, we're sort of alone, and we can't see other people. Can't be too close to anybody. So too the leper was cast out of the community because he was a social misfit. He was gossiping against others. He was creating, sowing seeds of hatred and jealousy and all kinds of slander against others. So because of this, he or she was cast out of the community. Her home was cast out of the community. And he says that, you know, first we warn the person, goes to their house, and it goes to their clothing, then it goes to themselves. And this is the way it goes. Now, so the first theory is the Rambam's theory that it relates to gossip. The only problem is that there are five cases of leprosy in Tanakh, and some of them have nothing to do with gossip. For instance, Moshe Rabbeinu is at the burning bush. God says, you're going to be the leader. He says, I want to be the leader. And then he says, how am I going to prove that I'm a leader? So God says, well, put your hand in your bosom, and he takes it out, and it turns to leprosy. Well, Moshe spoke Lashon Hara. In what sense did Moshe speak Lashon Hara? Miriam spoke Lashon Hara, that's for sure, that case for sure. Uzziah brought incense before God. He's a king, not a priest. He shouldn't have brought incense. What does bringing incense have to do with speaking Lashon Hara? Uzziah spoke Lashon Hara? Naaman was a general, enemy general, and he came to be cured of his leprosy. Did he speak Lashon Hara? So we have a lot of challenges. This idea that that's the only purpose of leprosy is Lashon Hara, doesn't seem to be so. And what I'm trying to propose is a theory that fits all of it, and we'll explain why the Rambam and the Talmud do say it because of Lashon Hara, because it's a broader idea, and that broader idea can connect all the different places where leprosy occurs. So let's take a look, and I want you to think about it too. We're going to look at the five cases. Can you think of a different common denominator or a different meaning to this common denominator of all the cases of leprosy? What do they mean, and what do they represent? And the different types of leprosy, is there one way of putting it all under one theory? I heard another theory aside from the theory I'm going to present to you. I heard another theory recently. I can't remember what it was. But in any event, let's see if you can think of a different theory or if you like this theory. So let's examine the five cases of leprosy mentioned in the Torah. And the first case is contracted by Moses. So Moshe says, they're not going to believe me. The Jews, they'll never believe me. I can't be the leader. They'll never believe me. They won't listen to my voice. They will say, no, God never appeared to you. They won't believe me. So there's a whole discussion. And he says, what do you have in your hand? And he said it was a staff. Bring your hand in your bosom. And he brought his hand in his bosom and he took it out. And it was mitzorat kashalik. It was white as snow. was leprosy like snow. Some leprosy is very white. There's a whole discussion of how white it is and all that. So, and then he put it back, and it went back to being kivsero, like his regular skin, like it always is. So Rashi says that, well, he said they wouldn't believe me. He spoke Lashon Hara. He said that the Jews won't believe me. Okay. But the fundamental story there is not about Moshe saying that the Jews won't believe me. The fundamental story of the burning bush is that Moshe says, I am not worthy of this task. And in a way, as a way of proving to Moshe that he is worthy, he gives him the leprosy. It's true you can connect the rabbinic theory, the Gemara in Erechin 16a, you can connect this theory with the Lashon Hara idea. But I think fundamentally, if you ask why did Moshe get punished with leprosy, why did he have to give this disgusting sign to say to the Jews, you see, I have leprosy. No, now I don't have leprosy. Why did Moshe have that indignity? Well, maybe it's related to the fact that he stood there at the burning bush and he said to God, no, I don't want to be the leader of the Jews. I don't think I can be the leader of the Jews. There's no way I can be the leader of the Jews. Maybe it has something to do with that. But if you want, you can prefer the Lashon Hara theory. That's fine. Let's go to the next case. Moving on to our next case, we have Leviticus. I'm going in order of how they appear in Tanakh, more or less. In Leviticus 14, you have this week's Parsha. There's the end of, not Tazria, but in Mitzorah, there's discussion about house leprosy. So it starts off with human leprosy, a clothing leprosy, and then it talks in the middle of Parsha Mitzorah, it talks about house leprosy. So let's see what it says about that. So Rashi has a theory about house leprosy. Let's read that, Rashi. When you come into the land, I'll put the plague in your house. You know what? Let me make that a little bigger so you can see it better, those who are watching on the screen. So Rashi says, I'll put a plague of leprosy. This was an announcement to them that these plagues would come upon them because the Amorites, that's the Canaanites, concealed treasures of gold in the walls of their houses during the whole 40 years of the Israelites in the desert in order that these might not, that the Jews might not possess them when they conquered Palestine or Israel. And in consequence of the plague, they would pull down the house and discover them. So Rashi says a strange thing. All along we were thinking that leprosy is a plague and it gets you because you speak Lashon Hara, and the Rambam said that even about house leprosy. But the Rashi says no, a different theory based on Leviticus Rabbah, based on a Midrash, that you know why you have leprosy? It's a blessing. You get leprosy on your house, you go to the Kohen, he says, yep, leprosy, we're going to have to knock down your house. He knocks down the house, and then inside the wall is a huge treasure from the Amorites, the Canaanites who came before. So you say, wait a second, I'm trying to make a theory about leprosy here, and we were talking about Lashon Hara, and now we're saying the leprosy is a blessing. How can we connect these two ideas? How can leprosy be for Lashon Hara, as we'll see in Miriam, and also be a treasure in your house? So it's challenging. How do you put these two things together? It's like the opposite. So I once heard of our Torah about it, and that kind of led me in this direction. So let's continue. Number three, Miriam, Moses' sister, she also contracts leprosy, and she's the classic case. As a matter of fact, could be a mitzvah in the Torah to remember Miriam. If you look at the six remembrances at the end of the Shacharis every morning, one of the six is you should remember what happened to Miriam when she went out. So, well, how do you remember it? So, and it says, guard yourself from leprosy. What should you do? So apparently, you shouldn't speak slander like Miriam. And then you say to yourself, really? Is that what Miriam did? She spoke slander? Or is that really the essence of what she did? Let's take a look. Miriam and Aaron, the siblings of Moshe, spoke to Moshe, against, there it says against, for on the matter of the wife who is a Cushite, the perhaps Ethiopian black, is that not clear, who he took, because he had taken an Ethiopian /black/African wife. What did they say? Why were they talking about her? We don't know. You have Midrashim about it. Some say it's talking about Tzipora. It's not talking about a second wife. Some say it is a second wife. Are they saying that he didn't spend enough time with his wife? And then I didn't give you the all the verses, but look at one thing that Moshe, that God says to him. What they said. Harakach Moshe diber Hashem. Halo gam vanu diber. You think Moshe only spoke, only he spoke with God? God spoke to us too. So what does that got to do? What are they speaking about? And then God says, Moshe is different. I speak to him face to face, and you I speak to in a dream. So what were they saying? What is the fact that they are the same as Moshe, not the same? What does that have to do with his wife? So Rashi connects it that, well, he was speaking about the wife, that Moshe separated from his wife. Poor thing. She has no husband. He's really separated from her. And why? Because he's so holy. So holy. We're also holy. We don't separate from our wives. What is he doing? So now, and then God gets mad. And he says, Moshe is not like me. How could you speak against my servant Moses? You're not the same as Moses. So then you say, is God mad that he spoke, that they spoke slanderously against Moshe? Or is God mad that they thought they were the same as Moshe? And that has nothing to do with Lashon Hara. That you see, what is the mitzvah in the Torah to remember Miriam? Is the mitzvah to remember not to speak Lashon Hara? Very possibly. That's a classic way of looking at it. There is another way to look at it, right? Salvation develops it, other people. That it's about recognizing the unique character of the prophecy of Moses. What do I care about the unique character of prophecy of Moses? Because that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing. When we have a Tanakh, it's not all equal, right? The missionaries come and they say, in Isaiah it says this, so therefore you're wrong. Wait a second. The Isaiah is not the same. All our principles come from the Torah of Moses. Moses in the ark in every synagogue is a Torah with the five books of Moses. That's the essence of the Torah. It's a unique prophecy. Anything in the other books has to conform with the words of Moses. So then what does that got to do with leprosy? What does it have to do with Moses? Moses, so we saw Moses essentially was refusing to be the leader, and God gave him leprosy. Miriam thought she was just as good as Moses, and then she got leprosy. See some similarity there, right?
Wow.
What do you say? Right? That here's a man who didn't want to be leader. He didn't want to be unique. He got the leprosy. She thought she was just as unique and special as he was. She got the leprosy. So we'll have to figure it out. We gotta figure it out. Well, let's proceed. So he named Miriam Yitzhak Hashai. Indeed, after God rebuked Miriam, she was also leprous like snow. And Aaron turned around, and there she was. She's a leper. And then Aaron prayed for her. Moses prayed for her. They waited 7 days, and they proceeded. Okay. Uzziah, case number 4. Uzziah was stricken with leprosy. He attempted to enter the temple to serve as priest. We know that the incense is one of the holiest things. We just had last week's parsha. The two sons of Aaron got in big trouble because somehow they brought the wrong type of incense. Incense is very specific. Who can bring it? When can you bring it? And it's, you have to be a priest. Uzziah was a wonderful king. He built walls and fortresses in Jerusalem, and you can see some of them today. And I think he had other achievements in other areas, mostly building. And he built up Israel. Wonderful, wonderful king. And he was very righteous. He was a good king. But in Chronicles, it tells the following story, that he wasn't quite as righteous as we think. He did something bad. When he got so strong, because he was a great leader, successful, and then he got haughty in his heart. Ad lashkis, to a very destructive point. He trespassed against God. He did something against God. He came into the sanctuary of God to bring Ketorah. Now, in order to get to the Ketorah, you have to go to the inner sanctuary. You and I can't go to the inner sanctuary unless you're a Kohen to bring the Ketorah. The Ketorah is the job of the Levites. It says Moses blesses the Jews at the end of the Torah and says, Yasimu Ketorah b'pecha, the Levites, the Kohenim, they put the Ketorah, not Uzziah from the tribe of Judah, from the descendant of David. So, Vayavoach Rav Uzziah Kohen, Azariah, there was a Kohen who had a similar name, Azariah, And he came with the with 80 Kohanim, a show of force. And they stood next to Uzziah and they said, it's not for you, Uzziah, to bring Ketoret for God, for the Kohanim, children of Aaron, who are sanctified to do so. Go out of the Holy Temple into that area. Lo lecha lechavod mi'Hashem Elokim. This is not your honor for God. There's a separation of powers. The king cannot trespass and all of a sudden bring sacrifices. So Uzziah was really mad. He goes in to bring his ketoret. And as he was getting angry with the Kohanim, the leprosy broke out on his forehead in front of the Kohanim in the Holy Temple. Uh-oh. As he was standing on this altar, the golden altar, not the main altar, the golden altar where you bring this incense. And then Azariah and all the Kohanim see that he's a leper. And they quickly rushed him out of there because a leper can't be in the sanctuary. Can't even be in Jerusalem. And he was forced to go out because God had made him a leper. And for the rest of his life, he's a leper. So here's a guy who was supposed to be a leader, but he wanted to be a Kohen, and he brought incense, and he got leprosy. What does that got to do with anything? Can anyone see a connection now between another story in this series? Is there another story that's similar to the idea of he wanted to be a Kohen, but he wasn't? Who else wanted to be something that, and they weren't that?
Well, I guess Aharon, I mean, they came to Moshe and they criticized him, but they weren't at the same level as Moshe.
Right. So we now begin to see that it has something to do with being on the right level. Miriam thought she was on the same level as Moshe. Aharon maybe was listening, so he was listening to Lashon Hara. By implication, he's also, he's party to this. He thought it was in the same level of Moshe of prophecy. And they weren't, so she got leprosy because she started it. King,
perhaps,
yes, yes, Lorraine.
Could it be pride?
Who's speaking?
Elaine.
Yes, pride. Right. So it says pride, and we'll definitely talk about pride. And let's see who else was prideful. So Uzziah is definitely prideful. He thinks he's a king. He can do whatever he wants. Right. There's no separation of powers. We know certain people like that, who think that they have all the powers because they have one office, gives them powers in a different office. Who else in our story thought that they were bigger than they were?
Well, Miriam.
Miriam, right? So Miriam also thought that she was a bigger prophet than she was. She thought she was the same as Moshe. God speaks to us too. What's the difference? So we have some sort of common denominator. But now we've got another guy, Naaman. In the would-be Haftorah for the Parshat Tzatzriah, for those few minions around the world, but they're still having minion for illegal minions, legal minions, whatever they're having. And again, we should try to read the Haftorah every week in our living rooms. We can open up the Haftorah. This week is a wonderful story, very interesting story from the Book of Kings. And I think Bloom is doing some stuff in Kings too, as well. And what does it say about the enemy general Naaman? So let's get this story straight. There was a kingdom in Hatzor, northern Israel, and he was making trouble for all the Jews in the north. He was from Aram, and from way up north in Syria, and they were controlling all the Jews in northern Israel. Maybe southern Israel too, I'm not sure. And this fellow who was a general, very successful, but he was a leper. And his wife probably wasn't too happy about that. As a matter of fact, it's a ground for divorce in Jewish law. So there was a little girl there, she was Jewish, and she said she was a servant, she had been taken captive by the enemy. And she's like the maid in the house, the servant, slave. She says to her master, mistress, the wife, he says, if you just go to the prophet in Israel, he could take care of it. He can do any kind of miracle. I get it. It's really not a problem. Of course, that's the enemy. So the king of the word gets from the wife to the general, to the king of Aram, sends a message to the evil king, I think it's Ahab, and he tells the evil king of Israel, I'm sending my general, cure him of his leprosy. King of Israel says, what? Cure him? I don't know how to cure people of their leprosy. What do you think? I'm a magician. What am I going to do? He's coming. He's going to tell me to cure him. And I can't cure him with his leprosy. He's going to get mad. He's going to start a whole war. This is an excuse to start a war. So prophet of Israel, Elisha, gets wind that the king is worried. And he says, you fool, what are you worrying about? Don't you know there's a prophet in Israel? I mean, the little girl knew that, and the king didn't know it. He says, bring him to me, I'll take care of him. So the general comes to him, let's see what happens. So I didn't want to quote the whole story, I gave it to you orally, here's some key verses. Naaman Sartzva Melech Aram, so Naaman was the chief general of Aram, the Arameans, the northern tribes that were plaguing Israel at the time. He was very important. Supanim. He was high in favor. Everybody, paid homage to him. And Kivon Natan Hashem Chual Aram. Because after all, it was through him that God helped Aram win. Aisha Ya Gibor Chayel Mitzvah. He's a Gibor Chayel. He's a real man of valor. Like the Aisha's Chayel is a Gibor Chayel. Mitzvah. However, he's a leper. Strange thing. He's like a brute. Disgusting, and he's a leper. Now, Elaine mentioned haughtiness. What does it say? It mentions that he was big and everyone lifted their face to him, right? So Elisha sent a messenger and he said the following. In other words, Elisha didn't want to talk to this guy. He's a general. You want to talk to Yasser Arafat? I don't want to talk to the general. He's the enemy general. He killed Jews, takes them captive. So he sends like a messenger. He says, hey, tell the general to jump in the lake. Literally. He says, go jump in the lake 7 times in the Jordan and you'll be fine. Take 2 aspirin, call me in the morning. So Naaman said, what? Some nobody comes to me and tells me to jump in the lake. He says, I thought he would come out and he would call out in the name of his God and he would wave his hand and then he would cure the leper. I wasn't expecting this. Some nobody comes out and tells me to jump in the lake. I was expecting some magic. I was expecting something impressive. He says, are not the rivers of Amana and Parpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all of the rivers of Israel? It's true. Israel doesn't have much water. Damascus, Damascus, they have, they have other rivers. The tributaries of the, go into the Jordan. I could bathe in them. If I want to take a bath, I can bathe over there. I don't need to come over here. So he stood by Yifen, by Yel Pachima. He stalked out in rage. So his servants, they're not so dumb. They say, Avi, my sir, master, my father, Davar Gadol Dibrei Navi Elecha. Hello, Tase. Look. The prophet told you something big. I mean, if you have leprosy all over your body and someone tells you, take this cream, it's a miracle cure, you take it. Maybe it won't work, but maybe it would work. So Rechatzutar, you go in the river and you'll be pure. So he listened to them grudgingly. Fire, he went down. But he went 7 times, like they said, cured. By the way, today they say that if you go in the Jordan, but if you go in the Dead Sea, it's a good cure for leprosy. And in fact, your insurance company will pay for it. If you go to a spa at the Dead Sea for leprosy, it's a good cure. Now, so it could be that if you want to take a more natural view, he told him not to jump in the Jordan, but the continuation of the Jordan, which is the Dead Sea, which is a good cure. Okay. Anyway, what has that got to do? Where's the Lashon Hara? Did he speak Lashon Hara? Can anyone find some Lashon Hara in his talk? Who can find Lashon Hara in the words of Naaman? It's hard. Well, what if you expand Lashon Hara? It's not only Lashon Hara against a particular person, also Lashon Hara against an entity. What entity did he speak against?
Against Hashem.
Maybe. They didn't recognize that, God is in the land of Israel. Yeah. But what else? He was making fun of something. What was he making light of? Something we hold very dear to ourselves. Something we're celebrating these days. trying to celebrate. He says, I should jump in this river. I got better rivers than Damascus. What's he speaking against? What holy thing is he speaking against? The river.
Making fun of the land of Israel.
Correct. He's speaking Lashon Hara against the land of Israel. We have this with the spies. Spies came back and they said Israel is a place that devours its inhabitants. It's also Lashon Hara. The rabbis say that. So there is some Lashon Hara here. So I don't want to deny that. But I think more salient here is what kind of personality do we have here? Who is this guy? What kind of guy is this guy? What's his major characteristic?
Arrogant.
Correct. Why do you say that?
So he's got better river in Damascus.
Yeah. He's not going to listen to some prophet, right? And he was very insulted that the prophet, what? Didn't come to see him, right? He was expecting to meet the holy man. You know, you want to meet the Bava Rebbe, you know, you want to meet the Baba Sali. You don't want to meet some underlink who was sent to tell you something, right? So very haughty kind of a fellow. So haughtiness. So then you think about it. Haughtiness. Some people think that they should be the same as Moses, but they're not. It's also a type of haughtiness. Then you think of, but then there's the house. What does that got to do with the house leprosy? What's that got to do with it? What do all these things have in common? Moses thinks he's not good enough. Miriam thinks she's too good. How do you put these things together? It seems like there's some of them, there's almost the opposites, right? Naaman doesn't recognize the holiness. Moses, what does Moses not recognize?
That he is good. That God chose him.
Right. If God chose you, yeah, you gotta say, you're chosen, you're chosen. That's it. He's supposed to say Hineni, and that's it. It's very strange. So let's take a look. So my theory, in all these cases, people did not recognize their potential and their limitations. You say, well, it's a sleight of hand. Which one is it? So, well, you don't recognize who you are, really. They didn't know their true inner selves. So leprosy peels away the facade physically. The skin that you depend on to be nice, clear skin, it's peeled away, and you see the ugliness or the beauty that's below. Whatever is below, true self, good or bad. And that's how we're going to connect. So now we need to look at all the different things that have been said about leprosy and see how they fit into this theory. Number one, Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara says that guy, give me something to say about somebody, that guy is really mean. So firstly, maybe he's not mean, or maybe you're just as mean as he is. There's sort of an assumption that, like, that you say, he's really stingy. Maybe you're stingy. He's really jealous kind of guy. He's a blowhard. She's a haughty person. Maybe you're the haughty person. So very often we find our characteristics in other people. We talk about them. And really, it's something about ourselves. That's why we know it so well. We recognize it so well in the other person because we have it ourselves. Sometimes we don't realize that we're saying something about someone else that we have ourselves. They say a blemish in yourself, don't tell your friend, right? If you got acne all over your face, don't say to somebody, hey, you know, maybe you should go to a doctor. I think you have too much acne. So look at you. You've got all this famous statement, which appears both in Jewish and Christian traditions, must have been an ancient saying, is you say to somebody, you know, excuse me, you have a little splint next to your eye. He says, you're telling me I have a splint next to my eye? You have a beam next to your face. What are you? So Lashon Hara doesn't recognize the potential in others and your relationship to them. You're not recognizing your relationship to them, which very often is sameness, right? You're thinking he's stingy, you're stingy. You think she's haughty, you're the one who's haughty. She doesn't care about her mother. Maybe you don't take care of your mother problem. So it's not recognizing the truth about the other. Haughtiness is clear. You think you're bigger than you are. You look underneath your skin, discover you're less than you are. Now let's go to different characters. So the Talmud, I say Lashon Hara and haughtiness because that's what the Talmud says as we'll see, that Lashon Hara and hardiness are causes of leprosy. They don't have other, they have other theories we'll talk about later. What about Moshe? As I think Debbie said, he thought too little of himself. He gets to see his skin. He looks beneath himself and says, you've got the potential. You can do it. Miriam thought too much of herself. She thought that she was a higher prophet than she was. She thought she was equal to Moshe, and she wasn't. House leprosy. You think you got to Israel, and you took over this house, you know, an Arab house, or it's an Amorite house, the Canaanite house. It's all right. It's not so great. And you don't realize what? What did they discover in the house? The treasures that the Amorites had planted there. So you don't recognize the treasure that's lurking beneath the surface. There's a treasure that's lurking below. Uzziah, clear. He thought he was too great. He thought he was equal to a Kohen. Naaman, also very haughty, thought he was too great, didn't recognize God, Israel, the land of Israel, the greatness of the prophet of Israel, right? So he also has leprosy. Oh, there is another character I should mention. Let's throw him in. Gehazi. There was, I hope you can hear me. I know the connection's a little weak. There was a fellow named Gehazi. He was a helper to Elisha, that same prophet. And I've never fully developed this part of the theory. Gehazi was, he was a helper. Naaman says, hey, you know, I really appreciate it. And actually, you know, I kind of believe in the Jewish God. You know, sometimes I have to do other ceremonies when I go back to my boss, but I'm really believing God. So what can I give you? I brought all this stuff to give you as a present. So Elisha says, no, I don't want anything. Thank you very much. So Gehazi, oh my God, we've been living in poverty all these years. We got different prophets, student prophets. We need a lot of money, food. This guy's coming with camels and donkeys and wine and all kinds of good stuff. I got to go get that guy. So he runs after the Naaman. He says, oh, you know, I'm the servant of Elisha. And by the way, the prophet changed his mind. He actually would like, you know, a little bit. We need some little bit. So he says, oh, okay, I'll give you some stuff. So he gives him some stuff. Gehazi comes back to the prophet, and the prophet is a prophet. So he knew what happened, that Gehazi went against him. He defiled God's name. Elisha was trying to make a point that he doesn't do it for money. And he also didn't want to take a gift from this evil man. And Gehazi goes and he tries to enrich himself for being the assistant prophet. And Elisha says, you're going to have leprosy the rest of your life. The leprosy from Naaman should go onto you. And Gehazi and his children all became lepers. So how to fit him into the theory is interesting. Some rabbis say that he shouldn't have pushed Gehazi so far. It's true, Gehazi was, you know, a money-grubbing kind of a guy. But he was his protege. Eliyahu appointed Elisha, and Elisha should have appointed another prophet. He never did. They say that Yonah was the protege of Elisha, but it's not. It doesn't say so in the text. The clear protege, the Joshua type of follower, was Gehazi. And he just kicked him out and he said, you're a leper the rest of your life, finished. So the rabbis say, well, you know, you should have given him a slap on the hand, give him a temporary leprosy, bring him back. You push him away with the left hand and bring him in with the right hand. That's the way you do it. If somebody misbehaves, you push him away a little bit and then you bring him back with the other hand. So it could be that the leprosy that Gehazi had failed to recognize the potential in Gehazi. In fact, the rabbis say that in a different Haftorah, that I think we don't read the Shabbos, it says that Gehazi actually saved the Jews. The Arameans ran away, and Gehazi was a leper, so he was outside the camp, so he saw all the food that the enemy had left, and he told everybody about it, and the Jews had a lot of food. So Gehazi is also someone I would write, what? Elisha didn't recognize Gehazi's potential. And then it was never actualized. And one might argue that it was because of this that the Jews eventually fall apart. In other words, if you had a prophet like Elijah the prophet, so that should have helped the Jews. It didn't, but it could have. Then you had Elisha the prophet. That could have helped the Jews, but it didn't. Maybe the next, if they would have kept the chain of prophets going, maybe that would have saved the Jews. So maybe the whole demise of the northern kingdom of or of the Jews in general is due to the fact that Elisha couldn't keep the chain going because he didn't recognize the potential in Gehazi. So that's my theory for today. Now, the thing is that on the one hand, if you look in the Talmud, they make similar rabbinic sources, similar proofs. In the Torah Kohanim, the Midrash on Vayikra, they do say that that you get leprosy for Lashon Hara, as we see with Miriam. So they recognize that case. And we see that it's also because of hardiness, as you see with Uzziah. So the rabbis were trying to kind of say, okay, we see different types of things through different stories. And again, one might suggest that each of our stories had a different point, and leprosy could come from many different things. Unlike the Rambam, who said it's only for Lashon Hara, could come for all these things. How do we explain the Rambam? Does Rambam disagree with Joel Finkelstein? Not necessarily. Rambam might be saying that don't speak against others, and always recognize that you're just as bad as they are. So what are you talking against other people for? Recognize who you are. So it could be that the Lashon Hara explanation fits with everything we're saying as well. Now notice, there's a problem. The Gemara in Erechim says that Lashon Hara comes for a lot of things. I mean, leprosy comes for many things. Lashon Hara, okay. Killing. Shavuot Shav, false oaths. Gilui Arayos, I'm over here, the second line, immorality. Gassus Avruach, we mentioned haughtiness. Gezel, stealing. I don't know, maybe that was Gehazi. Tzaru Da'ayim, being stingy. So, and they prove some of it from false oaths. They prove somehow from Naaman. They also try to use these stories somewhat as a proof, but they also use other places in Tanakh as well to prove their theory. So I'm not sure how you fit that all in. I never tried to work out how would stealing and, you know, not recognizing what's not yours and stinginess, how does this all work out with the theory? I'm not sure we can stretch it that far. It might go too far. I'm not sure we can make it work out with this Gemara that says it's about 20 different things. It was false oaths and immorality. I'm not sure we can stretch it. You start stretching it that thin, you know, you can say everything is the common denominator of everything is that you should be good or something. You know, so I don't want to stretch the theory too far. And what's the lesson of the theory? So what's the lesson of the whole thing here? What's the lesson? What is the lesson? Any thoughts? If you didn't take a peek there.
To be humble. Any thoughts?
Sorry?
To be humble.
Ah, well, then it would only go in one direction. You see, what about the message for Moshe, who was so humble, was not to be humble. What's the message? And it's really the same as being humble. It's the same as being humble, but what about when you truly are great in a certain way, let's say? You have certain talents, and you need to use them. And don't be humble about it. Do it. Go out and get the job in that field, because that's what you're for. So then what about that person? It's true, you have to be humble. You also have to sometimes, you know, stand up for who you are and be who you are. Yeah. So what's the common denominator?
Accepted.
Be skeptical of...
No, accept. Acceptance.
Oh, you should accept who you are. Right, you accept who you are. That's good. I like that. You can accept who you are, whether you're great. You should accept that you're great. You're Moshe Rabbeinu. Accept that you're limited. Miriam, Uzziah, accept your limitations. Accept your role in society. Good. Yeah, that's basically, in one word, that is correct. I wrote here, we should learn to know our true selves, for better or for worse. You should know thyself is the message here. Know thyself. The leprosy lets you... gives you an insight into yourself, literally looks beneath the surface of who you are and what you are. And we need to, so we can't puff ourselves up too much. We also can't knock ourselves down too much either. We have to recognize the potential we have and also the things that we don't have potential, the things that we have no place mixing in, or we have no potential for that. So knowing who you are. So that way, it works out with all these different approaches. So we took the rabbinic idea that it's about Lashon Hara, and we try to expand it, that Lashon Hara is really about knowing who you are in relation to other people. You're not better. You have no right to sort of talk against how bad they are. You're also bad. Or you're also good. We also talked about this theory could encompass the notion, rabbinic notion, that leprosy is for being haughty, because you think you're too great, greater than you really are. So it's about knowing who you are. This topic of, you know, skin, and skin gets leprosy like this or like that or the other thing. In the end, it could be talking about something very, very personal, very important, general lesson, and that's the lesson of knowing who you are. So that's my lesson for today, and I thank you for joining us.